that it's sweater weather right now. Gets me really excited.
And I commented earlier that I loved your sweater.
Really? I thought I looked like an old man.
I think only certain guys can pull it off.
I'm excited to kick off the show because, well, number one, we're back. And number two, we got some wine.
Can't go wrong.
We got wine and sweaters.
Wine and sweaters.
Wine and sweaters.
Welcome to Radio Flyer.
This is what happens when you drink wine before this
thing
starts.
Oh, we're a big mess.
We're always a mess. I told you, don't be nervous.
So, my name is Freddie Rivera, your host, and we are back again with a vengeance. Michelle Zuno on the blue mic. And, of course, formerly from Disneyland's Club 33, from Southern California, she now works in Laguna Beach at Las Brisas. Chef Jessica Tiffany, everybody.
Woo! Give it up.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You drove all the way from Montebello?
I did.
To Rancho Cucamonga.
Yes. I braved the horrendous construction on the 60 freeway just for you. To be here tonight.
Do you know anybody else who lives here?
I do not.
She does now.
I do not. Me and Michelle, we're going to have wine nights.
She does now.
Yeah. See, now you know two people.
Exactly.
Everybody knows Rancho Cucamonga. If you don't know Rancho Cucamonga, you know it from the movie Next Friday, I think.
Friday after next,
right? Chef Jessica Tiffany, she has an incredible... I've heard a little bit of the story, but I want to share it with you of who she is, where she's from. But you went from one significant job to another significant place. So before we get into where you're at now, how did you even break into this business? How did you become a chef?
Oh, Lord.
Let me take a sip real quick before I start the story.
Gather around the fire, children.
Mm-hmm. Should have got some marshmallows.
I always knew that I wanted to do something creative. I was definitely always like artsy. I like to draw a lot. I like to paint. I like to make things. For a minute, I thought I was going to be a beautician and do nails. Like, my godmother can attest to this. I used to have her come by my window, my bedroom window, and pretend like I was doing a drive-through service to do nails. So I'd paint her nails like real quick.
That's cute.
You know, like, I wanted kits like that. I wanted to do, and I started doing it in high school too for my friends, just for fun. I thought I was quite good at it. You know, like, I thought I had a pretty steady hand. But, you know, like a typical young lady growing up in a Latina family, they want you to go to college, get your degree, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the whole nine, right? Be better than what we are. But I went to Pasadena City College. You know, I thought I would try to figure things out there.
I went to PCC too.
Yeah.
Wait, Michelle's looking at me like,
I don't know if I knew that.
Yes.
I'm like, this is me.
I have more cred than just Chaffey College. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with Chaffey College. But yes, I went to PCC for a semester.
I knew about Chaffey a little bit. I did not know about PCC.
Because I got family in Duarte and Monrovia. And my cousin went there. And so he talked to me. He's like, Freddie, PCC is a great college. You should come. And I went. And I was like, eh. So anyway, back to you.
No, it was really good. It started getting really busy. First of all, I didn't want to go to ELAC because it was super impacted. Too many people and way too close to home.
You didn't want to go where?
ELAC.
What's ELAC?
East LA College.
Oh, okay.
How does she know and you don't know this?
Come on,
girl. Oh, sip to this, please.
ELAC it a lot.
Wow.
All Dodger fans know where ELAC is at.
Apparently.
They do. And I saw a commercial for the Cordon Bleu on TV. And I'm in my kitchen and I'm baking stuff. You know what? I think this is for me. I went... did the whole testing, and then the big thing happened, right? Where they show you how much it's going to cost. And I was like, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I was like, my parents won't even buy me a car. There's no way. And it's not that they won't. It's just that I have two siblings.
You see the commercial of Le Cordon Bleu, and then you call them up, and then you go and you take the tour of the place?
I take the test.
What test is that?
It's kind of like just a basic GED to make sure that you're a functioning human being, I think.
Do you have the capacity to learn?
Yeah, you have the capacity to learn. You know basic numbers because you do also have to do food cost, right? So you need to know your math, addition, multiplication, division, et cetera, et cetera, right? You know,
what did you see on that tour? What did they show you?
It was a candy sculpture. So in the office, they had like, it was stained, blown sugar that looks like glass.
No kidding.
And it looked like a coral reef, and I thought it was beautiful. I kept looking back at it, and the child in me was like, I want to touch it.
Yeah.
But I was like, don't touch it because it's going to break if you touch it, I bet. So went back home, all excited. I found my dream, mom and dad. And they're like, no, stay in college. And I was like,
Okay. But it is a college. It's just a different kind.
It is. And I was so like, but I understood it. I understood exactly why they said no. I get it. I get it. 1 year goes by. I'm still hating my life over there at PCC. And yeah. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just over here in retail, like working. It's like, I felt kind of aimless. Like I didn't really have purpose. You know, I just threw myself in debt. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. I was like,
so you paid for it yourself?
Well, not 100%. Actually, my boyfriend at the time co-signed for me.
Helped you out. Okay,
he helped me out. And he was a really great person, you know, for doing that for me because I hadn't established any credit or anything
like
that.
It's always great to have somebody supporting you.
Yeah.
You know, especially when the family's like, we don't really want you to do this.
And then you were so young, like to have somebody support you, that's cool.
Yeah, like I had no credit. I had nothing. I was barely even starting to work or anything like that. So I had nothing to go off of, just, you know.
Yeah.
And then for me, I felt that college was on me. Like my parents did what they could for me. You know, they put me through private school for my youth and then for high school. And then they still had to take care of my brother and my sister. And I was like, no. This part is on me. Mm. Like this is, I really want this. Like I have to make it happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to. And I was very grateful for him for offering to do that so I could get that loan. You know, and he knows how grateful I am to it. And I promised that I would make sure it's on time so it doesn't ruin his credit or anything like that. You know, but
That was a test in itself. To see, make sure you're on time here. And then this is the beginning of it.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, but that gave me the extra push because, okay, this person believed in me enough, so I gotta make it happen. Like I can't fail, I can't stop.
So you have your foot in the door now at Le Cordon Bleu, and you have the finances all situated for now. Was it everything you expected it to be?
Yeah, it was. Like I could think on it and I was so excited. I felt like that was where I was meant to be. And I took the best damn notes of my life there. You know, I was the best student I could possibly be there. Like I'm not an early person. I'm terrible waking up in the morning.
Was there ever a meal that inspired you growing up, either from your mom or from, you know, your grandmother or just from a chef? You went to a restaurant and you're like, whoa, I had no idea food could taste this good.
I think one of the times was actually at a friend's house. His mom was Guatemalan. She made this really good dish and it was beans. It was black beans. And it was cauliflower that was, I believe, fried off in like an egg batter. And then she gave me like a red tomato sauce to go with it. And it was my most favorite thing ever. Like I'd go over and I'd always ask for it. I fell in love with that dish. And I was like, oh, this is so good. And it was like just home cooked, super simple. And it just tasted delicious. You know, and that for me, like made me get like excited for food. And of course, like when I go to other restaurants and I try like the big meals, like the steaks and such, I know that they're amazing. But it's always those home cooked meals that give me the most, that bring me the most joy and happiness. And I think it's because like I kind of missed out on it with my grandmother. She got Alzheimer's by the time, like I said, I could really start to appreciate food. You know, she wasn't able to handle things in the kitchen anymore. Mm-hmm. So now like I think home food, that home comfort stuff really entices me a lot more. It just gets me more excited to eat it more so than in a restaurant.
It's like Ratatouille, you know? It's like that scene where the critic is eating the Ratatouille and he's like, this peasant dish? And he takes a bite of it and it's whoosh. It's like it goes back in time where he's a child, you know?
And
he
hurt his knee. Back he's in like, time.
Yeah. I was like, Mommy? I was talking to Michelle Zuna about this and I went to, so I was driving through Burbank today and there's one restaurant that really replicated my favorite chocolate chip cookie of all time, right? And I don't know what was in this chocolate chip cookie when I was a kid, but I think it had like a hint of molasses in it.
Oh, maybe.
But it was a chocolate, but it had like a, not a burnt taste, but a gritty, a brownie, I don't know what it was. But this, whoever this baker was at Olive and Thyme in Burbank, she nailed it. And I always bought it there, right? Granted, it was like a $4.50 cookie, so I was like, it wasn't all the time.
Worth it.
But so worth it. It's right. But I went today, and they switched bakers. I'm like, no.
Freddie's heart was broken.
How could they do that? There was excellent, and this place was known for their pastries. The most amazing thing ever.
Did you ask what happened to her? Like, did she just like switch jobs, or she had a different location?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just so many things are changing. I don't know if it was the pandemic or if she left or I don't know what. I didn't want to get involved, but I'm gonna search for that.
Look, you have to.
Yeah. You gotta find
her. Do you
remember?
Do you know her name?
She's the perfect cookie. On that note of restaurant, though, but I can say that one of the first restaurant meals that I really, really enjoyed was actually Little Red Door in LA. Mm. That was probably my first really good meal that I was so amazed. So amazed. The service, just entering it, it was beautiful. You know, like you don't really see it on the side. All you see is a red door and then the wall's covered in ivory. Yeah. So you'll miss it if you don't know that it's there. And you go inside and it's got, and it was at nighttime. It's kind of like you're entering the secret garden. Oh my God. I remember getting lamb there with like palm spray, like, you know, just simple mashed potato, a simple lamb sauce. And I was over the moon.
Is that it? Is that it behind you? Is that it? Or is it?
Yeah, it's that
one. Oh, it looks like kind of how she was describing it.
Yeah.
That is really nice.
It's really, really nice.
It's a good date spot.
It was a date, yeah.
I think that's a good date spot.
Now that Chef Jessica Tiffany's here, I wanted to like do my top five restaurants in LA, but I think half of my list, my personal list, the restaurants are closed.
Yeah.
Some temporarily, some permanently. An example is Broken Spanish.
Yeah.
Broken Spanish by Ray Garcia.
Where you never took me, I remember.
But you did go. You
went, I went when it was the Rivera.
When it was Rivera, yes. And it was, I guess Broken Spanish was, I guess, a little bit more casual version of Rivera.
Yeah, because Rivera was crazy, like different rooms.
I mean,
like,
it was still upscale.
It
but,
was. Yeah. I liked it.
Broken Spanish is permanently
broken.
Closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Broken.
It's broken.
It's no mas.
But yeah. I guess he's working on a new project now. But, you know, what a crazy, crazy time. But, okay, how did you go from being a student at Le Cordon Bleu to working at the infamous Disneyland's Club
33? I will say this, that I'm very thankful that for my mom, because she is quite the networker. And it's something that I learned from her really well since growing up. And I learned not to like sin vergüenza, like to not be embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to go and ask for things, you know, or to put yourself in a position, you know, when you know you can do it. When I needed to get my externship, like from Le Cordon Bleu, she actually had walked across the street from work because she works for the state. She worked across to the hotel and asked the chef there if I could come by. And she mentioned the externship, da 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 da. And she actually like assisted me with that and kind of just like.
That's cool.
Because I don't think I had the courage yet to quite do that. I was still very nervous. And then so she just kind of like, here you go. Now it's on you. So I had to sit and chat with him. And then I had to earn it myself from having conversation. And then from there, I was okay, this is the last time my mom does anything for me. It's on me. Mm-hmm. And then I was just, boof, and that's where I was. And I started working for USC, for their gastropub, and then for like their private members-only place. And I really, really enjoyed it. I got to meet all of great people from USC, the professors, some of the folks who have like foundations there and everything like that, like the who's who and whatnot, and great people. And also Go Trojans, because I'm a USC fan.
Go Trojans, yes.
So, of course, I was so happy to be there because I got to watch the football games. I was so happy. And so then I kind of realized that I really liked the whole private club scene.
Right.
More so than I liked the fast-paced, like, to-order vibe. I liked the course out. I liked the like the pomp and circumstance of having like a party or a catering event, you know, and because that's what you do in the beginning. You kind of, you think you might like one type of style of the industry, and then you realize you don't like it. You like something else instead. Mm-hmm. I don't quite like the hotel business, and I don't quite like the to order fast paced gastropubby stuff. I was like, I like it, but then I don't like it. And then I tried the private, and I was like, you know what? I think I kind of like this. Yeah. I like this part. I like engaging the guests. And so then from there, I started working with a friend out in Whittier, California. Shout out to David Forte at Masa Taco. So he's one of like my really good friends. He's like my mentor. I met him at USC. So he broke off from there and decided to go do his thing there in Whittier and kind of took me under his wing. And I was his sous chef there at Masa Taco. And it was really, really fun to go ahead and like play around with vegan food, to make my brain work in a different way, try out different things. You know, like he was like, if you have an idea, just go for it. And I really appreciated that, because he just let like my creativity have a space to be itself and to work. And if it didn't work, it didn't work. Or we try to find a solution and make something better. I really enjoyed that part. And then from there, my dad had a heart attack. Oh. And yeah, it was really scary. And he had to get like a quadruple bypass surgery. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I have two younger siblings, and my little sister was still like in like grade school. You know, I'm glad that my dad's fine. But I was like, if anything were to happen to him, like being the older sibling, the oldest, I'd have to help my mom. I was like, so I should probably get a job that has benefits and 401k and et cetera, et cetera. So that's when one of my best friends, like Amber, told me that Disney was hiring, and she's like, you should apply. So then I applied, but the thing is, nobody on the websites, nothing says Club 33 or anything. It's just very ambiguous. It's just you apply to it, you apply to it, and if you apply to one, you can't apply to another one for another 6 months.
Wow.
So I was like, what the F? So I literally sat there on the computer reading every word, every detail to figure out what was going to be the best one. And I just saw this one. And I was like, this sounds Club 33-esque. I was like, I'm going to go with that. Mm-hmm. Clicked it, applied, immediately got a call back the next day. Like, actually, in the same day, can you do a phone interview? I was like, yeah, interview, bam, like back to back to back. Can you come and do a tasting? And I was like, yes, of course. So then I had to go to club. I better make sure I'm doing everything right. Like, I need to make sure I know what I'm doing. Like more so than the chef, me worrying about the chefs looking at me, I was worried about the guests. Mm-hmm.
It's like, intimidating.
Yeah, like they sit there on the countertops on the chef's counters because they want to watch the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I felt so much pressure, and I was like, okay. And I was like, calm down, Jessica. I was like, you can do this. And like, plated everything up. The chefs like it. You know, they're like, where would you like to work at? And I was like, what do you mean, where do I get to work at? And I was like, well, I'd like to work at Club 33, please, you know, if you can. And they're like, yeah, let's call up the chef and let's see if he's got time to give you a tasting. And I was like, okay. Trying not to be so eager and trying to hold back so much on myself.
Yeah,
and inside, I'm jumping and I'm so excited because I'm a Disney freak. You know, I love Disney.
Same.
At what point did you know you got the job?
Yeah.
It was when they asked me for if I wanted to do the tasting, to come back another day to do a club tasting. And I remember I was a sous chef for my friend David. Mm-hmm. And I told him, and then he's like, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
So don't worry.
Yeah.
Makes me tear up because I'm just like, he had so much faith in me, even though, like, he knew I was going to be, like, leaving him. Mm-hmm. Like, he just had so much faith in me. I was just like, okay, I'm going to get it. Like, you know, so I went to the tasting, and I did. You know, like, they asked me to stay longer even after I was done, you know, to hang out for the rest of the evening if I wanted to. And everybody was telling me that, like, that's a good sign that the chef asked you that. That means that he likes you. Yeah, they called me and then, you know, just offered it to me. And I was so happy. I was just like, damn. I remember telling myself, one day I'm going to make so much money that I can be a member there, or I'm going to work there.
Yeah.
I was like, but either way, I'm going to make it into this freaking place. I was like, I promise. Like, I promised myself that. And it's like this little thing I never told anybody, but I was just like, that was my thing. I was like, because I love Disney so much. I was like, I'm going to get there. Mm-hmm. And then, well,
and
I got there. Yeah.
And you, so you, awesome.
What a gig and how it happened. And I felt like it happened so quickly.
It was like meant for you, it seems like.
Yeah. I kind of felt like it.
So, okay, you get the gig. Who's the first person you call?
My boyfriend at that time.
Like, look at what you invested in.
Right? So,
yeah.
It was
the same guy.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's awesome.
So, guess what? It happened. I'm in. This is it.
Yeah, exciting.
Pretty much, yeah.
But I think about, you know, being a chef at Club 33, because it's probably, if you don't know what Club 33 is, it's probably one of the most exclusive restaurants that you could ever have access to. It's at Disneyland. And correct me if I'm wrong, is it the only place where you can actually drink liquor? Well,
no.
I guess back in the day it used
back
to be.
Back in the day. But now that we have Olga's Cantina in Star Wars Land.
Right.
See, I wouldn't know.
And
I
California Adventure, you can drink alcohol because I walk around with a margarita
Technically in Disneyland, Club 33 was the only one that could have alcohol up until Star Wars Land opened up and they opened up the Cantina.
Is it above Pirates of the Caribbean or somewhere in that area?
Yes. It's right above Pirates.
I remember having like a bread bowl from that gumbo place and I would look up,
my
like,
fave.
I wonder what it's like in there.
Yeah, it's crazy because even
wanted
that,
to go.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to go.
They haven't closed
like my,
it, right?
That's like my dream. Yeah, but I got to make enough money to get in that place.
Or we got to know somebody.
Unless somebody knows somebody.
You know what I mean? So, okay, but what I want to know is the clientele. Who did you see coming in and out of that place?
If I tell you, I have to kill you. No, I'm just kidding.
Everybody.
No, I'm just kidding. You know what? If you're able to pay the dues and the fees and everything, like, you can get in. It seems unfair because of the cost, but it's not at the same time because it's open to anybody. You could be a celebrity. You could be the owner of a company. You can be an heiress or, you know, just be friends with a person.
It doesn't matter your status.
Right.
No.
It just matters
how
if you can afford it.
Yeah, if you can, you know, and then if you can make the wait list and you're willing to wait and everything like that. But
how long is the wait list, by the way?
I don't know. I feel like it's like about, I've heard it's about 10 years.
What?
I don't know 100%.
That's a wait list.
I was thinking a year?
Don't quote me. It's just, you know, it's from what I've heard. I don't really deal with all that.
You just shot my hopes and dreams
in
down.
In today's world, how do you even know? You're going to be alive in 10 years.
I know.
You know what? To that, I've actually become friends with some of the members. And honestly, they're wonderful people. And they're just... they just love Disney. They love going there. They love to enjoy it. They have family. They have their children, so they're able to take them into club, go to the park for the day, come in, eat, leave again, come back in, because we have a lounge. So the lounge is kind of like you can come in and out of, but the dinner room, that's where you have to have reservations and such. And they got refurbished, so the club is actually a little bit larger now, and we have Royal 21.
All right, so what I want to know is how much does it cost?
Freddie, this is our goal.
Right.
Even if we have to wait 10 years, damn it, we're going.
How much does it cost?
I don't know the membership cost. Because that's not my area.
Let me see if we can pull it up.
I think they might have it up there.
It's probably listed.
Membership? Is there?
Membership fees.
Let's see how much this is. Hold on a second. Michelle, can you read that?
Yes, it's $33,000 to join with a $15,000 annual fee.
Oh, pff, no problem. Michelle, you want to join tomorrow?
Yeah. We totally got that in my pocket.
Done.
Right now.
$33,000.
Not to get personal, however, I bet you got really good tips from there.
I don't get tipped.
But the servers went up, but the and bartenders. Servers,
oh, yes. Honey, yes.
I would not leave there. I would be like, I could work there every day.
We have some servers that have been there for, I think, about 20 plus years.
Oh, I'm sure.
So you know it's good.
And if you're a good people person.
Everybody there, honestly, is a good people person.
Can you give us a hint at who was like a frequent there or who you've seen there? You don't have to tell the name. But if
there's
a
certain Playboy bunny who likes to go to Club 33.
Yeah. Okay. You might have met her before.
she does
on one
like
of your Playboy radio days.
She does like to frequent Club 33. Okay, I saw Orlando Bloom.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I could see Orlando Bloom.
Well, because Katie was there. Uh-huh. So for American Idol, your boy Ryan Seacrest. So when they would do American Idol there at Disney, they'd come to Club to Royal 21, which is the private, more private part of Club 33, and the chefs would do special meals for them there in between, like, guess the shows and the takes and everything like that.
Wow.
So I believe Katie was there having dinner for the evening, and then I was walking out of the foyer, and in comes Orlando, and I was like, oh. Like,
hello.
I was like,
I cooked your food today.
Was he as good looking in person as?
Yes.
Yes. Hell yes.
No, he was. He's very handsome and he has gorgeous curly hair.
Ooh.
And I guess because we tend to think celebrities may not look like themselves in person as like, right? To the pictures we see online. So I think I was more taken back that he looked just how he looked like in a photo.
That's okay. a rare thing because
that is kind of for a celebrity.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, like instantly I knew it was him. Like there was no gimmicky stuff, you
it's
know.
Easy.
Like it was easy.
It's easy
I was like,
to
oh.
see somebody you've seen on TV, and then you look exactly like, oh my gosh.
He's got a look though.
Handsome man, you know, super simple. It wasn't nothing crazy, and he was like, he acknowledged me the way I acknowledged him, like visually. Like I was like, that's enough for me. That's enough for me. It's like, hi, George Lopez was there too. Actually, I had seen him.
Hey, George
as well.
Lopez. By the way, let me just say. George Lopez is one of the nicest guys in the industry. And I know there's a rap about him, you know, with everything that happened after. But I remember I was 18 years old and I had this, like, I was out of high school and I had this, like, radio station online that had maybe two listeners. And I think I was, like, my mom and dad at the time. And I asked him, I go, George, can you say, hey, this is George Lopez and I'm hanging with my boy Freddie Rivera? And he goes, man, I got you, bro. And I got to find this clip.
Oh,
but he goes, hey, this is George Lopez. And I got to say right now, I don't know who has a better fade than me or if it's Freddie Rivera, this guy right here.
Oh.
I'm chilling with this guy. And I always got to thank George Lopez for that. Coolest guy ever. But that's really cool. You got to see George.
Yeah, same thing. Walking through the foyer. Okay, for this one, I think I got a little bit more starstruck. And
you
I did.
Like, hey.
No, I did one of these. Hi. And I literally walked out and I was like, stupid. Like,
girl, you could have done it differently.
Did he wave back?
I think he caught my awkwardness and he was like, he's like, he didn't know what to do with it either.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn it.
George has a really big head.
Yeah.
That's the one thing him and I have in common.
Love
like, our heads are bigger than our, like the ratio between our heads and our bodies. It's very weird.
Freddie and I were joking about it. What was it, yesterday or the day before? When did you post it?
About my big head?
Yeah.
He
posted a picture on his story that said, why is my head so big? And you guys can't see the DMs, obviously, but I DM him, Jimmy Neutron. It's
seriously.
An inside joke that I say he looks like Jimmy Neutron.
I think you told me about that.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, you did.
But how cool is that? So Orlando Bloom, George Lopez.
I'm sure a lot of people.
You've seen a lot of people there. And maybe Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom had this special VIP treatment because they were there at the VIP exclusive lounge. But right. We have one of the chefs exclusively here.
Yeah.
In Rancho Cucamonga.
Even better.
On Radio Flyer. By the way, we want to thank you for being here, too.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be a part of it. You guys are such a good vibe.
Oh, thank you. So how long did you stay there?
Well, I am furloughed.
Okay.
And so
you could go back.
Yes, 100%. Oh, awesome. So if they call me back, I've been fortunate enough to not be let go by the company. So I'm still furloughed. So they can call me back whenever things get better.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're able to open up because, again, like I said, we're kind of a separate entity. Like we're a part of the park, of course, but we have different roles. I think in my head, I developed such a bond with everybody there in the kitchen, like with everybody there. And it was such a bummer when the closure happened because I was like, man, like I was just coming in. Like I felt the first year there was me proving to myself that I could do it. You know, I'm in a place where nobody knows me. I'm in a place where I have no friends. There's no one there to give me a leg up, to give me a, it's okay, mija, like nothing like that. Uh-huh. Like if I F up, I'm going to hear it.
Yeah.
There's no one who's going to save me. And that's what I wanted. I was like, I don't want anybody to come and save me. Like,
accountability.
I want to do it by myself. You know, like I want to prove to myself that I can do it. I wanted to be seen different, not just as like that new person in. And I totally was, you know, like, and, you know, I loved it. And then that furlough happened and just it just tore me apart.
Yeah.
You know, I was home and I was like, I'm not even happy to be home. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm falling apart. Like, I'm depressed. I was like, I'm sad. Like, you know, you guys, there's like this thing just, I mean, I'm sure for everybody, you know, just,
yeah,
it took away my purpose. And this is what I said earlier when we were talking that when I was in college, I felt like I had no purpose. And in life, you know, like, I feel like we strive for that purpose, you know, and like, this was my purpose, like to bring joy, to bring happiness with the things that I created, you know, to be a part of a team that was doing that. Like, I literally felt like it was ripped out of my hands. And I was like, it stops.
And because you were starting this momentum in,
like,
your career.
Like, think of it like this. Like, I was in this crescendo. Think of a song in the orchestra, right? And you're at this peak, this crescendo, and then the music just stops. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just done.
Yeah.
And there's nothing.
Yeah.
You know? You're like, wait, huh?
And I feel like a lot of people feel that way right now.
Yeah.
Especially with the Disneyland employees. I feel for them. I don't think I've ever seen it close, ever, in the history of ever. Even during the measles outbreak, it was open. During everything.
I think there was one time in history that it closed. I want to say it may have been when JFK was shot.
Maybe.
I think it was when JFK was shot that they closed the park.
Oh, the Northridge quake.
Partially
closed, right, only.
9/11?
Yeah.
Oh, and then JFK.
1963?
1963, yeah. A period of mourning for JFK.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
This is the longest closure I've ever seen.
So what brought you to be at Las Brisas?
So,
which is a beautiful place, by the way.
It's gorgeous.
Have you been there before?
I have not, but I have friends that have eaten there, and I seen that. I don't even care what the food tastes like. The views are beautiful.
Yeah. The Instagram. You're not following this on Instagram.
Total date spot for sure, for sure.
It's a very photogenic spot. Now,
yes.
Yeah. How did you end up there?
So I was in the middle of quarantine, hustling my little butt off, doing meal preps and making bread puddings and pastries to sell because your girl needed money.
Yeah.
And whatnot, you know, I'm thankful for EDD, but still, you know, I still needed to be working with my hands because I love to feed people.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I love to feed people. I was like, if not, I'm going to feed myself. And that was already going
terrible. Freddie and I are hungry a lot. So we're people and we love to eat all the time.
I should have brought all my stuff and we could have been making food.
We could have been right here on a little griddle. We'll just do it on this grill.
You know what?
Indoor grill.
I would have done some little like Benihana status right here.
Next time, right? Portable hibachi.
Portable hibachi.
Not a bad idea, actually.
I got you. I'll wear the hat and everything.
Yes.
You look really good, though. I feel like you have a lot of confidence working at Las Brisas right now. You look that way right now.
Yeah, I do. Like, it's definitely a role that I knew that once I got my sea legs for it, I would be good for it. Mm-hmm. I really like people. And I do understand that everybody reacts differently to different things and how you talk to them and how you present information. You can't baby everybody, of course, but not everybody responds to the, like, quote-unquote Gordon Ramsay, like, yelling style of the kitchen, you know? Mm-hmm. We're different being here in the States. Our cooking is a lot different from like anywhere else. You know, you have to understand the people that you work with, right? You got to understand the body language. That is all real.
Is it open right now?
Okay.
Good question, Michelle.
I'm gonna wait because Freddie and I want to go eat. So I'm actually, trying to figure out if they're open right now.
Actually, I just got word today that we aren't open. We're doing takeout only, but we have a really large rose garden that we had transformed our valet parking lot into an outdoor patio area.
Okay.
So it's been closed off because of the new restrictions, but we just got word today that we're allowing people to go ahead and eat there if they choose. Awesome. So you can order takeout. And you can order drinks and you can eat there and just throw your own stuff away, basically.
Yeah, yeah. You're not like getting served.
Yeah, there's no table service. Like, we'll drop it to you and then, like, we walk away. And,
yeah, it's
like,
not our fault you're eating in our rose garden.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Just, you know.
Can you drink there?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you can. Our wines are 50% off.
I mean, Michelle, wines are 50% off.
Can you check your calendar for next weekend?
The wines
please?
Are 50% off.
Can you let me know what you're doing Saturday?
One second, please.
Por favor.
One second, please.
I'll drive.
And we make...
this in my calendar.
We make our margaritas fresh daily. They're really, really good. We use Casamigos for our tequila.
You know that's my gig.
Do you know what I like about Chef Jessica Tiffany is the fact that she, at least judging by the Instagram, she walks out and... takes pictures with everybody and talks to people. That's I find that amazing.
We're definitely going to request you to do that.
I feel like chefs don't do that enough.
I know because there's times where because Freddie and I have gone to a million places probably to eat together. There's times where I feel like we should have asked if we could shake their hand at least,
right?
Like, because we've been to great places and we're like, wow, who made this?
Jose Andres, the
bazaar,
was walking around casually, just saying what up to people.
Smoking
a cigarette outside. This guy, most casual dude ever.
Of course.
And he's huge. He's huge. And I feel like, why don't these chefs do this? I mean, take a photo.
I don't think they get how important they are, maybe.
Honestly, it's to each their own. You know, because some prefer to be out of the... like the limelight, quote-unquote limelight, because they want the focus to be on the food.
Right.
And I'm all for that. Remember, like, to each your own. I just love people.
Yeah.
And that's my thing. Yeah. I'm like, I can't not talk to people. Like, there's times I'll take a break from the kitchen, but I'm like, I'm going to walk outside and I'll walk up and down our rose garden. I just want to see everybody enjoying it. Yeah. I want to see if anybody's upset. I want to see... who's having a great time? Can I feel somebody else's water?
You want to put your fingers on the pulse.
I gotta feel the beat out there. Like, I want to know what's going on. Like, I want to see how their servers are. And
consistent professionalism.
I know.
From a real professional. Chris Martin Coldplay once said that in an interview. He goes, they asked him, they go, how do you always, there's a picture of it. How do you always
it's a good photo.
At your peak? And he goes, well, you know, I picture somebody out there in the audience being their first concert. Mm-hmm. And there's somebody in the audience also, this is their last concert.
Oh, that's nice.
Each show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so like their first meal, their last meal, like how you could think of.
Yeah, yeah, it should always be the best that you can do. But at the end of the day, the food that we put out, it's always going to be an extension of ourselves, whether you're the executive chef, the sous chef, or if you're the line cook.
You mentioned Gordon Ramsay and his style of cooking and yelling at the, you know, because this is what he does on TV, which is great, by the way.
I love it.
Gordon Ramsay.
Me too.
Is it really like that in kitchens here in the U.S. today?
So I've actually made some friends, like, you know, from across the pond, you know, whatnot. And they've talked about how, like, we're kind of babied here. You know, we have so many rules that protect us and XYZ about our breaks and da da da. Look, to each their own. The language of the kitchen depends on the language of the chef. And that's what I feel like.
Right.
They set the tone. Yeah. Because
they run the show.
They run it. You know, like, and even when they're not there, the kitchen still runs as though they are there.
I admire your passion so much for this because I absolutely love to cook. And people think I'm crazy for it. But I can cook all day, every day, for hours and hours.
Let me hit you with the most favorite question any chef could get. What's your favorite thing to cook? We actually hate when you ask us this.
I love cooking like old recipes passed down from family members because there's nothing like that. You don't measure. That's what's hard. You don't measure. You don't not like following a recipe. You just have to do it from memory and from watching and from knowing and from them telling you, put a little of this, a little of that.
Yeah.
And you can always make it your own. And then my dad was my biggest critic. Not to talk trash about my dad because he's probably listening right now. However,
I like
Marge,
your disclaimers.
he was my best critic because he wanted to be a chef before he was an engineer, and he wants his food near perfect. So if
by the way, I loved how he was reviewing his food and tequila on Instagram.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Wasn't he hilarious?
Yeah.
And okay, that bottle of Don Julio is delicious, by the way. But anyway, he was just like, "So this is the tamales I made. Like all this credit for it." And no lie, our family tamales, like people still request me to make them.
So I love the juxtaposed like cultures beside each other. Tamales and dumplings, right? Like when families make dumplings, it's a family thing, right? You sit around the table, you have conversation,
an
you make
assembly
dumplings,
line,
right? An assembly line, it's a whole thing. The same thing with tamales. You can't just do it by yourself. You need to have all the tias.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have all the grandchildren.
When you do it together, it
goes by so much faster
good.
Because you're just enjoying the family time, and that's what I've missed the most of my family time. And we make tamales, and all my aunts be cracking up, drinking their cervezas, you know, just laughing, whatever, playing the mariachi music, you know, doing the gritos and everything like that. And we're just there like, oh my God, I don't want to make tamales. But now I'm like,
so
I want to make tamales.
Okay, but now where we're at.
They're magically delicious.
Yes.
In today's world, from your professional point of view, if someone has a mom and pop restaurant, what is the outlook of the restaurant industry during this pandemic, in your opinion? I mean, the chain restaurants we know are going to be there.
Yeah. They're there because they're big business and they're going to get bailed out and they're going to get help from the government because the mom and pops
are bad for the mom and pops.
They're hurting, you know, like they've put everything into these business. They've put everything into it. Their kids work in them, you know, like, and they're hurting. Because they can't staff accordingly, you know, like, and then they got staff that's been there for X amount of years and now they can't pay. Like we just talked about, Broken Spanish closes doors.
God,
yes, he's working on other projects.
Heard about
but
that.
But you got to take an L for a potential future win.
Yeah.
You know, but like, let me tell you something. We had this big old tent over here at Brisa's and we had some really crazy Santa Ana winds one day. Our thing was flying off and it was about to fly off into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, the other chefs and staff were holding it down. This thing, though, all the aluminum was bent because of how strong the wind was.
Mm-hmm.
Things were flying everywhere. But to save our patio, right, because we wanted to make sure that everybody was safe, you know, took it down, disassembled it, you know, and everything like that, like to make sure that, like, when service actually started, it was safe for everybody to come. But it's something like that. It's kind of like, oh, we worked so hard for it. Now the wind's going to take it away. It's like, we can't catch a break in 2020 over here, you know? That whole, like, competition vibe that each restaurant had with one another, like, oh, we got to be better than so-and-so, da-da-da-da-da. Now everybody's banded together and everybody's tried to help one another. Hey, you guys need PPE? We got PPE. You guys, like, need staff? Hey, we got extra staff that needs jobs. You have jobs? Like, everybody's talking to each other. Everybody's having a better dialogue with one another. Like, we've always been one, but we've never been more one than like right now, looking out for one another.
Generally speaking, can a restaurant survive on takeout orders and, you know, no dine-in?
They can potentially survive, but they won't thrive.
The takeout places, pizza, different things like that. I mean, I even love cold pizza. So it could survive 30 minutes, an hour later, everybody's still going to eat the pizza.
Right.
When you go get a steak and you eat it, 30 minutes that it takes to deliver to your house.
Not the
same.
There's
no way it's the same.
You know, Michelle, you say that because I ordered Fleming's twice from another steakhouse.
So have I.
Don't get me wrong.
I loved
it. Steak is amazing, but the steak,
it
doesn't survive the temperature.
There's only so much a steak needs to rest, and it doesn't need to rest for like an hour.
And then do not put a steak in the microwave.
No.
From Chef Jessica Tiffany, can you just say what you just said right now about a steak?
Never microwave a steak.
Boom.
Never.
You know, you got to give it.
You should never order your steak well done. I want to hear her say that right now. Ever.
Do not order your steak burnt. I mean, well done. Once again, to you, Saron, because I have this argument with my mother all the time because she likes her meat extra dead. And then she gets upset with me when I dare serve her anything medium. And she's like, you know, I don't like that. And I'm just like,
I think mine should still be moving across the table a little bit.
I was like, probably. It's okay. I'll take it black and blue or Pittsburgh.
I
want to hear it mooing a little bit.
Me too. Blood everywhere.
Okay, wait. Now I have to ask a question.
Yeah.
I want to know, what are your favorite spots in LA?
It's a great question.
Oh.
I had a list. But half of my list is closed. But my number one was Broken Spanish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Night Market Song in Silver Lake is phenomenal.
You've been telling me about that.
One of my favorite spots. You can't reserve. You always have to wait. I mean, I don't know if it's open now, but I mean, Night Market Song, a Thai restaurant in Silver Lake. Ooh. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I do love some good Thai food.
Gwen Steakhouse off of Melrose in Hollywood
is
an experience.
Yeah?
You ever been to Gwen?
No.
It's like a quarter butcher shop, and it's like the rest is a restaurant. Not a big
That's
place.
That's by Chef Curtis Stone.
Yes.
Yeah. I went to his other restaurant, but starts with an M.
Curtis Stone's Maud?
Maud. Yeah. I went to Maud. Yeah.
So, okay, I'm thinking of another one, Bavel. Bavel is good. And Bavel is by the people who do
Republic.
Bestia. Bestia. What about the white tablecloth, Michelin rated, fine dining restaurants? Because before the pandemic even happened, I feel like, in my opinion, they were already kind of getting phased out with the generation. Not their thing, fine dining. But now that the pandemic is here, where is, in your opinion, where is fine dining? The white tablecloth restaurants, where are they headed?
They'll still be around.
They'll always still be around.
They'll always still be around. Because it's another genre. It's like cream of the crop.
Right.
You know, and it's just, it'll be there. And they've adapted. You know, look at Thomas Keller. Look at Daniel Bull. They've all adapted. And I don't think that they're going to go anywhere. I think all that it is they're also going to have to change their mindset about things.
You know, when this pandemic is over and, you know, new menus are coming out, can we be a little more creative and stop having Brussels sprouts on literally every single menu?
I love Brussels sprouts.
It's so overdone now. Oh. Every restaurant has tuna tartare and Brussels sprouts something on every.
You're right. There's always a tartare.
No matter if you go to an Italian, a Chinese.
Pokey everything.
Ahi
pokey nachos. Ahi pokey stack.
Okay, so Jessica, you are becoming a pretty big deal. And I think your resume from what you've done just so far is huge. It's incredible. Club 33, Las Brisas in Laguna Beach. Do you plan on being in LA or Southern California for the rest of your career in a perfect world? Is that what you want to do?
Look, I wouldn't mind 100% to continue traveling and to go anywhere else and go keep learning other cuisines. I feel like just to expand your brain is the best thing you can possibly do, the best investment in yourself. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, LA is my home. Mm-hmm. And I love LA. And anything I want to create, I want to create it here.
Yeah.
Because I love it. You know, like even with the food industry, like across, you know, overseas, I feel like we don't even still have that great of a rap. Yeah. People just think that, oh, we're Hollywood and we talk like this all the time. I went to school in Boyle Heights. You know, like I used to live right there off of Rowan and Percy, you know, in East LA. Like, you know,
I feel like people don't know Boyle Heights or East LA and, like when they're living in New York, or because they're watching TV and all they see is Beverly Hills and Hollywood.
They just think of what they see on TV and they think of only what they have preconceived notions from the perceptions that are put out of that area, you know, of us from that area. Oh, cholas, sharpie eyebrows, and da 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 da. It's like, no, you know, I'm sorry. There's way more than that. Have you been to Manuel's El Tepeyac?
Oh,
hello. I went to school
right there. The Hollenbeck burrito is on point.
The Hollenbeck burrito. I went to school right there. So my end goal, and I swear if anybody does this before me, no, I'm just kidding. I'd be grateful for it. But my end goal is whatever I stop, I would like to bring it there.
Yeah.
I like to bring it to Boyle Heights in particular.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
East LA. That's what I really, really want 100% because Arts District is, I think they're pretty packed. I think they're good. They've got enough restaurants in Arts District. They've got enough restaurants in downtown LA. Mm-hmm. But I think Boyle Heights could use a little bit of love.
Yeah.
It could use a bit of love and some care. And that's where I want to bring it to.
When this comes into reality and this actually happens and Jessica brings the restaurant to Boyle Heights and she looks back at, you know, the trip she took to Rancho Cucamonga to be on a radio flyer, and she was talking about it and she was manifesting it on radio flyer and verbalizing it into the universe and actually made it happen. She was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so but before we conclude this episode of Radio Flyer, when you see somebody who is this passionate to have this kind of drive and to have this kind of mind that you have, you see somebody who's authentic, you know, and you exude out of your pores authenticity.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No doubt that you will kill it at whatever you do. And I think Boyle Heights is not a matter of how or will it? It's a matter of just when. And I think, I hope that we mark this show. She talked about it. Yeah. And then years later, when this is happening, we were here.
I think our only request is we get like a meal named after us.
Yeah, right.
It happened here.
Yeah.
Here. I don't care what it is, but some good. Even if it's a little dessert on the side of the menu.
A little bit, whatever the case may be.
You know what? I think a dessert would be fun.
A dessert. Yes. We'll have a dessert named after us.
On the air.
Yep. On the air.
Right.
Yeah. On the air. Exactly. We can do that.
So big congratulations to Chef Jessica. Huge talent. But next time, you got to come with the food, okay? You have to come with the food.
I mean, I'm going to bring a little grill. I'm going to bring, like, some utensils and some...
I'll bring the plancha.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, there we go.
Exactly.
So, one more time, salute it for Chef Jessica Tiffany. Thank you for being here.
Yeah,
we appreciate you. Looking forward to, hopefully, we live in a completely different world the next time we have a conversation over, you know, food and restaurants and everything
hopefully.
Else. All the way from... Rancho Cucamonga tonight. Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew? All right. I didn't.
Till she got here.
So I checked maps.
I'm driving to where? How do I pronounce that place? I don't know, man.
Can you just Uber me next time, please? Oh, man.
There better be pizza. Yeah,
yeah. Send your driver and pizza. It's been such a pleasure having you.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure being here.
I think this could possibly be our very first radio flyer on YouTube, by the way. So... we'll see how we look on camera. Are we allowed to give your Instagram out so, you know, some of us can follow you who are not following you?
But of course, darling.
Mm-hmm.
Please, darling, please tell.
You can follow me on Instagram at Chef Jessica Tiffany.
Woo-woo.
At
Woo-woo.
Chef Jessica Tiffany.
I am now following her, by the way.
You are now. Yeah, that's right. I've been following her. What up?
We're friends.
All right. And then, of course, my dear Michelle Zuna, you can follow her at official Michelle Zuna, who's on the blue mic.
Yep.
And you can find me at Freddie Rivera. This is Radio Flyer. You can find the podcast on pretty much all platforms that play podcasts, including Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts. For more information, FreddieRivera.net. And you can email us at RadioFlyerLive@gmail.com. New email, by the way. Forgot to shout that out.
Yes.